right here, right now.
Shut our mouths in case it comes for us.
As part of a BBC poetry season, Andrew Marr explores the story of the British people through our poems.
This tells our national story in a way I don't think you've ever heard before.
We British, an epic in poetry, begins on Thursday morning at 9 and then across the day, on air and online, over on BBC Radio 4.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and live online. It's 11 o'clock. And now, Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz with Jazz Nelson.
Good evening. Tonight on Jazz on 3, we celebrate the music and life of piano player John Taylor, who passed away in July following a heart attack on stage in Segre, northwest France. He was 72. His unique touch at the piano, free-flowing lyricism and innate sense of playfulness were traits adored by jazz fans worldwide, hallmarks that graced over 80 albums in a career stretching back to the late 1960s, when he rose to prominence amongst the first generation of British players to truly take the sounds of jazz to new worlds all of their own. For many, Taylor's early work with peers such as John Sermon, Kenny Wheeler and Norma Winston marked a turning point in the music, a launch pad from which John Taylor's output as a leader also blossomed. Well, joining me in the studio tonight is the jazz writer John Fordham, who followed John Taylor's career very closely over the years. Good evening, John.
Hi, Jess.
In a way, I suppose your different jazz careers have run in parallel. You've followed him at pretty much every step of the way, I'm sure.
I think when I first started listening to jazz in London, I must have heard him probably in Ronnie Scott's when he sometimes played as a house pianist in the 70s.
You wrote an extensive and very heartfelt piece in The Guardian about John and described his character as self-depreciating, whimsical and elegantly awe-inspiring. And another sad loss to British, European and indeed international jazz, and an all-rounder piano player, composer, leader, teacher.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, revered as a teacher, incredibly influential as that. And well, he kind of blossomed as a composer a little later in his life, but developed as a fine one.
Well, few people know John Taylor's music as well as John Fordham, and he's kindly selected the music that we're going to hear in the programme tonight. Some of it from CD, much of it from BBC Radio 3 recordings over the years. We're going to start with something from an album which many consider a classic, John.
Yes, this is Angel of the Presence, which was with a band that he had in, well, the recording was made in 2004 with the Swedish bass player Palle Danielsson and Martin France from Britain. What I love about it is that it is a fantastic example of John Taylor's lovely touch, beautiful kind of silky development of melodies, strong sense of groove, and the way he develops an improvisation, and it's a terrific band as well. So this is a great example of that trio in action, and it's called In Cologne.
Thank you.
a studio recording from 2004 from a trio led by piano player John Taylor, with Pelle Danielsson on double bass and Martin France on drums. We'll be hearing that trio in live performance a little later on. And throughout the programme, we're going to be hearing from musicians who played with John over the years and some of the students that he shared his wisdom with throughout his decades. Elliot Galvin wrote to us on Twitter, Elliot being a fine young piano player himself. He suggested we play that track and said, Angel of Presence is an incredible recording. Just listen to the interaction of the band, the genius and energy of John's ideas. And the drummer on that track, Martin France, got in touch with us to share some thoughts that he wrote for John Taylor's funeral. He said, there will be lots of discussion and appreciative insights into John's incredible contribution to our musical lives. But for me, the one thing that always took my breath away was his ability to take the music to another place, somewhere you couldn't imagine, somewhere where you didn't think the music would go or could go. And when we would get there, I would think to myself, OK, we're here now. But as soon as you had that thought, we'd be gone already, moving the music into another completely different place. Music to John was always an opportunity to step outside and to be swept along in the undertow by his adventurous, daring spirit in gentle persuasiveness. It's something that I'm sure all of us who played with him will never forget. And John, we're going to hear that theme coming up a lot during the programme. Of course, we always talk about the ability to be inventive and to be spontaneous with ideas, but this is a real theme we'll hear throughout the programme of people saying, just so many ideas. And although that's there's this great lyricism throughout and you can follow the music, actually changing all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the quality of John's that I always used to notice if you met him socially was a mischievous one. He had a great sense of humour, a very quiet sense of humour, but he loved surprises and unexpected twists and stuff, and that's what you hear in his music. And it brings the best out of improvisers.
Most of the music we're going to hear on the programme tonight comes from the last 15 years or so, but a career, as we said, that stretches back to the 1960s. Impossible to sum it up in the time that we've got, even if we spoke solidly for 90 minutes, but give us an overview, John, of John Taylor's career.
Well, as quickly as I can, he came from the north. He came down from Manchester to London in the 1960s. I think he'd liked Oscar Peterson early on. Bill Evans was a huge influence for him, and you can hear that in the music we just played, that lovely sort of waltzing touch. Herbie Hancock also. He played at Ronnie Scott's, as I mentioned, for a while, and then he became absolutely the pianist for that generation of British players who were so influential in the 70s and 80s and on. John Sermon, Alan Skidmore, he played with the Dankworths, he played with Kenny Wheeler, Michael Gibbs. Then he met and married Norma Winston, who he worked with a lot, and they were the nucleus of a little chamber group called Azimuth, which became incredibly influential, and then Kenny Wheeler joined that. And then he, through the 80s, he was playing for a who's who of European players, Jan Garbarek, Errol Anderson, Enrico Rava, Sermon, of course, Gil Evans' touring band. Then he worked with Peter Erskine's trio, the American drummer Peter Erskine, in the 90s, and that was a big influence for him, I think. I think he did more composing in that, and Erskine let him have a lot of space. Started teaching in Cologne, which was the reference to the tune we heard earlier, at the Music Academy there in the 90s. And then from about 2000 onwards, his composing skills really began to be widely recognised. And, of course, he was beginning to become a kind of elder statesman by that point.
Well, pick up on some of the threads that you mentioned there later on, John, because we're going to hear from Peter Erskine. We're going to learn more about John Taylor as an educator. We're going to hear the first of our live selections tonight. Tell us about that. And we've got a little clip from John to introduce it as well.
Yeah, this was the Green Man Suite, which was played for his 60th birthday, or he composed it for his 60th birthday in 2002, and that was also a tour. And he played that with a very fine band that was originally formed in the north by a friend of his and the artistic director of the band, a guy called Nick Purnell, big promoter of John's work. It's a 45-minute piece, very pastoral, lyrical at times, a lot of acoustic guitar, Orrin Marshall's tuba. But this is the last section of it from Green Man Suite.
And just before we hear that, some thoughts from John Taylor himself.
Well, I've been so lucky to have done so many different things with so many wonderful, diverse musicians. And I remember in the 70s and the 80s, loving every minute of being involved at Ronnie's. And that was so fantastic for me. At the time, I loved every moment of it. And as I look back and remember all the people I was lucky enough to play with, I look back with real joy. But of course, I then needed to move on, I guess, and then I met a lot of different musicians in Europe and elsewhere, which broadened my whole musical thought and perspective. And so I've been very fortunate in having a very varied and colourful sort of life in the music. And it still goes on, and I hope that it continues to be like that.
Yeah.
commissioned by BBC Radio 3 back in 2002 and recorded at the Birmingham CBSO Centre, the Green Man Suite from the John Taylor, performed by the Creative Jazz Orchestra. That actually went on to win the BBC Jazz Award for Best New Work that year. And the Creative Jazz Orchestra was set up and led, as John Fordham mentioned, by Nick Pennell. My guest is John Fordham. And John, you were touching on the fact that as we came into this century, John started to kind of really come into his own as a composer and be recognised in that way. And you mentioned the influence of Bill Evans as a player, but another big influence, Gil Evans, and he worked with Gil Evans.
Yes, he worked with Gil Evans on the so-called British band, the band that toured over here. I think you can hear the Gil Evans influence in his use of brass particularly, and in his appreciation for tonality, for the colours of tone, which of course is part of his skill as a pianist as well. It's one of his real strengths, tremendous control of tone and sensitivity to it.
So we're going to move back and forwards in a sense tonight between the larger groups and the small groups. A small group now, and a very important one to John Taylor, recorded during that same concert celebrating his 60th birthday.
That's right. That's the band with Joey Baron on drums and Mark Johnson on bass, two very eminent American players, and an indication of John's stature on the world stage that kind of band could form, and a very important link for him in that Mark Johnson was one of Bill Evans' last bass players. So that's a real piece of continuity, which you hear in everything that group did. It sounds quite Bill Evans-like in its way of working. And this is a piece that was recorded on that tour in 2002 in Birmingham, and it's called Up Too Late.
You're listening to Jazz on 3, where tonight we're celebrating the life and the music of the piano player John Taylor, who sadly died this summer. And that was a concert recorded for this programme back in 2002, celebrating John's 60th birthday. A trio there with Mark Johnson on bass and Joey Barron on drums. My guest in the studio is John Fordham. And John Taylor had a fruitful relationship with the label ECM, and that band recorded for
That's them. Right, yeah. They made an album called Rosalind in that year. Yeah, wonderful record.
We're going to be hearing more live music from another of John's trios later on with Pelle Danielson and Martin France. Plus, we've words coming up from the American drummer Peter Erskine, who recorded four albums with John for ECM in the 1990s. Well, we've touched on John as a composer, but another of the ways that he'll be fondly remembered is a teacher and a mentor, willing to sort of share his musicality and his wisdom at all times.
He was remarkable like that. He was a quiet, modest guy, but he was amazingly generous with his time. And you know, the number of student pianists who would say, I just happened to call him up to see if he could spare a few minutes, and they'd go for a pint and talk about music. That the number of times he did that, considering how many demands there must have been on his time, was quite extraordinary. And he would always spend time to talk about music with anyone. So I think that's been almost as important a part as his role in music as all the wonderful music he actually made. He's made it in so many ways indirectly through so many people he inspired.
Well, not long after John's death, a concert took place. Sadly, it was due to be the launch of his new duets album with the piano player Richard Fairhurst. We'll hear from Richard later on. But it turned into a tribute night to John Taylor with lots of his fans coming along, but also some of those students who'd worked with John over the years. Let's hear from two of them now. In a moment, the British piano player Kit Downs, but first, the words of the German player Michael Volney, who studied with John at the Cologne College of Music.
The surrounding I met him was the Bundesjazzorchester, the German Youth Jazz Orchestra, and he was teaching there. And this used to be, sometimes it could be quite a strict place for music, like very serious, you know, and sometimes there was a sense of some tension there, just as it can be in some musical education environments. I think I remember in the first moment he was there, whenever he entered a room or was there was just this immediate sense of freedom, and everything was, you know, playful and not so strict or not so restricted in any way. He just carried the sense of being inspired, being interested, being supportive, lots of humor, you know, he made lots of jokes and all that. So I think this general sense of character is something I remember very much.
My favorite thing about his playing was that he was always so up for taking big risks in the music, which is a really rare thing, I think. Rhythmically, he'd always be stretching things, grouping things in weird rhythmic groupings, or putting melodies that sound very comfortable in a certain place, moving them slightly so it would sound slightly off. And everything was just being stretched all the time in such amazing ways in all directions.
One of the lessons I had with him in a band always used to be about just do some things that you don't know. Let's just like just put some stuff in, just some ideas that will be played with and discovered in a group. And it's not so much about knowing something or thinking about something and then showing it off. It's more just like leaving it to the moment and leaving it to the players.
The German piano player Michael Volney, and before that Kit Downs, two people who had the pleasure of being taught at one time or another by John Taylor. And I suppose you get a sense there of the way he worked as a teacher, but also as a leader. Not everybody has that ability to just sort of open things up and allow people to experiment and say, come on, take risks, make mistakes.
Absolutely. I think so many musicians you talk to who work with him will testify to that. Norma Winstone will, you know, when she was working in Azimuth, that thing that you had no idea which way the melody was going to go, and but you could completely trust him to support you in whatever you tried to do in reaction to it. It's a wonderful quality in any kind of music, but in this kind of music particularly. I mean, in a way, I think it's very interesting that he has some qualities in common with his great friend Kenny Wheeler. In as much as Kenny could write very, very complex and incredibly sophisticated music, but it didn't cramp improvisers. And he wanted improvisers to do something that would really startle him, even maybe shock him. And I think John had much the same feeling about it.
Right, we're going to go back to a big band here now, this time recorded in 2004.
Yes, John Taylor was artist in residence at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival in 2004. which was another measure of how big his status had grown. I remember a fantastic small band he had with the American violinist Mark Feldman, and then this big band that we're going to hear, which had Chris Batchelor in it, Ian Ballamy, Oren Marshall, Julian Siegel, Chris Lawrence, Martin France. And this is a piece called O, which is very interesting because it has bits of Chick Corea in the opening, lots of nice call and response stuff. Again, lots of wonderful use of the tone qualities of instrument and this amazing tumbling unaccompanied piano break in the middle, which is almost sounds like cartoon music sometimes. So a real testament to John's versatility.
Thank you.
recorded for this programme back in 2004 at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival, the year when John Taylor was artist in residence, his big band playing a piece called Oh, and many familiar names in that group: Ian Bellamy, Julian Arguelles, Steve Buckley, Henry Lowther, Chris Batchelor, Oren Marshall, and the trio at the heart of that, John on piano, Chris Lawrence on bass, and his longtime colleague Martin France on drums. You're listening to Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson, my guest John Fordham, celebrating the musical versatility of John Taylor. And we're going to move now from the sounds of the big band to the opposite end of the spectrum and the piano duo. Shortly before John died, he recorded an album of piano duets with Richard Fairhurst. Here's Richard to tell about his meeting with John Taylor.
On the first time we met, I was very nervous, because obviously he was a bit of an icon to me. But within about 5 minutes, I was completely relaxed. I mean, my initial idea was that we started playing Bill Evans tunes, because I know that we both had a connection to that music, and John contributed Evans Above, which was a link. And then I think the other side of it was we wanted to pay tribute to some other pianists and musicians, so Kenny Wheeler and a Pete Tabberton piece, and they were both sort of friends and inspirations to both of us as well. So we had a kind of direction fairly quickly with it. When it came down to working things out together, we'd exchange ideas, so he was very open to things that I suggested, you know, and that was a really great thing, because it felt really like a two-way process, you know, that we were achieving.
Epitaph for Kenny Wheeler from the Duets album, Richard Fairhurst and John Taylor. And we'll be hearing Kenny Wheeler with John Taylor at the end of the programme when we close with a piece from Azimuth. John Fordham, you said you were talking to Richard earlier and he was sharing some thoughts about working with John.
Yeah, he was very interesting about it. And one thing he said that really stuck in my mind, he says you've got to remember that everything about John came from the piano first. Even if he was composing for a large group or whatever, the piano was the core of what he did. And I think Richard was kind of implying that almost everything that John Taylor could write for other people, he would have been able to play himself.
Well, that album, by the way, was actually recorded back in 2013, but is now out on Basho Records. Well, another of John's key collaborators was the drummer Peter Erskine, who first played alongside John in Kenny Wheeler's quintet and then big band projects, including the seminal album of Kenny's Music for Large and Small Ensembles. The pair went on to make four trio records under Erskine's name for ECM in the 1990s, the band also featuring the bass player Pally Danielson. Here's Peter now to recall some of the times he spent with John Taylor.
The first time I encountered John Taylor and his playing was when we were sharing a bill at a small jazz club in New York, we being myself, Mark Johnson, and John Abercrombie, and John Taylor playing with Norma Winston and Kenny Wheeler in the group Azimuth. So I'd never heard John until that moment, and I was just completely dazzled by his playing, by his musical personality, his kind of irresistible magnetism and derring do. The opportunity for me to work with John in a trio setting, you know, I had done several recordings for Manfred Eicher and the ECM label, and he very generously invited me to do a solo album. And I was certain I wanted and certain that I needed to do it with John Taylor. He was most uncompromising. He could take any idea you would bring in and not only make it his own, but make it something for the ensemble to play. So whatever role I might have played, John was very much the true music director. One of the more fascinating and appealing things about John Taylor's playing was that he could never do anything the same way twice, even if you wanted him to. And I had never experienced playing with a musician who was so utterly creative in such a determined manner. It's sad to think about, you know, when you hear musicians who play like that, it's so vibrant, it's so alive. It's jarring to all of a sudden realize that they're no longer here. I think we managed to contribute something quite important to the state of the piano jazz trio. I'd like to think that, and certainly I know a lot of people feel that way about the recordings. They were very pivotal for me. I can look back and view my life, and that trio time period is certainly a high point and a very important turning point.
Ambleside Days from Time Being from 1993 on ECM Records, a group under the name of the Peter Erskine Trio with Pally Danielson on bass and John Taylor on piano. But John Fordham, interesting there for Peter to say that although very quiet and quietly assertive, that John was the true musical director of the group.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I've never heard that explanation before. I mean, it's clear on the records that John had an awful lot of influence on what happened and was given a great deal of the space, but I hadn't realised that this uncharacteristic determination had led to it.
Well, just to say that we've also been discussing and sharing favourite John Taylor tracks on Twitter. You can get in touch with us at BBC Jazz on 3, and we're going to start putting together a playlist of suggestions from all of you who are listening to the show. Riley Stone Lonergan said, one of my favourite albums is What Now with Chris Potter, Kenny and Dave Holland. Absolutely amazing record. The track Iowa City is marvellous. Ken Pickering said, an awesome early John Taylor trio is Decipher on MPS 1972. That's not a record that I've never heard of. And of course, many of you suggesting John's work on music for large and small ensembles. Please keep your suggestions coming at BBC Jazz on 3. Some more live recording now, John. And what have you picked for us next from the Jazz on 3 archives?
Well, this is the Angel of the Presence trio with Pally Danielson and Martin France. The track I've picked is actually not a John Taylor tune or even a Kenny Wheeler one, which the group played very frequently. This is a Steve Swallow tune called Vaguely Asian.
Thank you.
really, he was a big influence on me as a player and a composer. But his touch and sound got out of the piano was all his own. It was, you know, immediately identifiable whenever you heard it. So that's something that I always kind of aspired to, not copy, but, you know, find in my own playing.
Well, I think there's certain John Taylor sound, touch of the piano. On recordings, there's always this sense of space and leaving notes and silences and playing with that. Even though sometimes it seems sparse, actually the whole thing is very rich. I think there's a lot of harmonic depth and material from different worlds. Like there was a Messiaen harmonical touches that he used in a very unique way, I think, in a very influential way, because I think I can see how that John Messiaen virus is spreading across a whole generation of piano players.
German pianist Michael Volney, and before that, the British piano player Richard Fairhurst, talking about John Taylor's sound and touch, which we heard before that in Trio in 2006, recorded for this programme with Pally Danielson and Martin France, and Vaguely Asian, recorded at St George's in Bristol. John, yes, you know, again, one of those things that always comes up with the great players, the fact that you can identify them very, very quickly just by their touch.
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael Volney was right about it. There is a sense of space and just a sense of implications in the music that aren't necessarily directly articulated. And I think John Taylor's colossal knowledge and kind of eccentrically acquired knowledge, this sort of beachcombing of all kinds of modern music, contemporary music, that he was able to put together into this extraordinary sensibility. I think that the combinations of these elements give him this inimitable sound.
We have two more recordings from John Taylor to finish off the programme tonight, both on CD. And, John, something now from an album that's just been released and a very important project to John.
It was, yeah. This is an album called 2081, which is actually the date of the setting of a Kurt Vonnegut story called Harrison Bergeron. John Taylor liked Vonnegut's work, and he looked like him as well. There was a quite remarkable resemblance, and I think a quirkiness about them both that's probably a great synchronicity there. But this is a very important project for John because it involves his two sons by his first wife, Norma Winston, Alex Taylor, who's a vocalist, and Leo Taylor, who's a drummer. So there's something here that it's interesting. I mean, we've been considering the sort of deviousness of John Taylor's music and the unpredictability of it. If anyone wants something that is a little closer to the kind of almost like American soulfulness of the jazz piano tradition, you can hear some of it in this, and a little of Keith Jarrett too, I think. So this is actually a track called Doozy, just taken from the 2081 album, and it features Alex Taylor and Leo Taylor and Orrin Marshall on tuba.
It's been a year to the day. Say that you'll stay with us. Say that our love will remain. I'm in a sky. Thank you.
Family Affair from piano player John Taylor, an album that's just been released. That piece was called Doozy. It featured Leo Taylor on drums, and Leo is also the drummer for a very successful rock band called The Invisible these days. Alex Taylor was the singer, and Oren Marshall, kind of a part of the John Taylor extended musical family, playing tuba. And the music commissioned by BBC Radio 3 for a concert in Cheltenham and now re-recorded.
That's right, for the 2012 concert in Cheltenham, yeah. And Kurt Vonnegut was the theme of it all.
And, I mean, in John Taylor's case, we can sort of really say that he was working right up to the end. He sort of sadly had a heart attack on stage, but there had been no sense of him slowing down, and indeed the kind of creativity kept flowing.
He was speeding up, I think. I think he was busier in the last sort of 3 or 4 years than he had been for ages. And, I mean, he'd always worked a lot in Europe, so perhaps we didn't notice quite so much over here. But, yeah, I mean, he was just enthusing about all the opportunities that were coming up and all the things he still wanted to do. So it's doubly saddening to think that we won't hear that happen.
We're going to hear one more piece from John Taylor to close the programme in just a moment. Just a few bits of news, and this is very exciting. The BBC Radio 3 New Generation Artists for 2015-2016 have just been announced, and amongst them is the trumpet player Laura Gerd, who we've championed a lot on this programme. That's good news, John.
Excellent choice, yeah. Yeah, a wonderful musician. And she's out on tour at the moment, I believe, with Phil Meadows' group. So there'll be plenty of opportunities for people to hear her in the coming few weeks.
Yeah, very good. And plenty of opportunities to hear her over the next few years. Is here on BBC Radio 3, because she'll be popping up in all sorts of projects. Starting this coming Wednesday, that's October the 7th, there's a new series over on Radio 2, a new jazz series, Ralph Johnson's Jazz Epicenter 6.7, in which the Earth, Wind & Fire percussionist shares his love of 1960s and 1970s jazz. Recorded in Los Angeles, these shows will recreate something of the late-time ambience of the 24-hour jazz stations that Ralph grew up listening to. I hope we've got a bit of that late-night ambience going on here, John, as well.
Sure we do.
Expect music from the likes of Miles Davis, Ramsey Lewis, Chick Corea, Mongo Santa Maria, John Coltrane and more. Sounds good. So that's on BBC Radio 2 from this coming Wednesday. On this show next week, we've got highlights from the 2015 Vision Festival in New York, a great festival of American free music, American and global free music. We have performances from Roscoe Mitchell and strings player Jason Cao Huang's Sing House, amongst others. That's next Monday night, 11 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3. And don't forget, you can download this programme now. You can download programmes from the last month, carry them around with you and listen to them whenever you can. Just visit the BBC iPlayer radio app. Thank you very much to my producers tonight, Alex Watson and Chris Elcombe. Thanks, of course, to John Fordham for being with me tonight and choosing all of the music that you've heard from the John Taylor archives. And John, we're going to finish with one final piece from John Taylor, and really a very classic band from the history of British jazz.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the late night ambience. This is a real dream walk for the small hours of the morning, and that's from the Azimuth Group. This is the mid-80s version of it, from an album, in fact, called Azimuth 85. I think that it will bring a lump to the throats of listeners, probably, to hear the wonderful sound of Kenny Wheeler's flugelhorn on here, as well as John Taylor and the amazing Norma Winston. And John would sometimes play synthesizers and organ as well as piano in the various editions of Azimuth. And you can hear him playing the organ in the very closing stages of this. This is a beautiful piece called Breathtaking.
Thank you, John. And good night to all of you. We'll leave you with Azimuth. Thank you.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. BBC Philharmonic at the 2014 Proms first tonight. Chief conductor Juanjo Mena leading us through the grand expanses of Mahler's Fifth Symphony with Alexandra Tarot for the Ravel left-hand piano concerto. And to set off here, the BBC fill in what was the Proms premiere of Knight's Blackbird by Sir Harrison Birtwistle. 2014 was his 80th birthday year. And this is a piece which alludes continually to one of Dowland's lute songs, In Darkness Let Me Dwell. It's a piece that suggests melancholy, but, as Birtwistle puts it, not as an inert and depressive mood, but as a humour of the night, an inspired spiritual condition.